Jill Schlesinger, Jill on Money, CBS News. She hasn't been with us in like a year and a half. I don't know what you were doing, but you better have been enjoying it because we're sitting there floundering in ignorance and you're in the south of France sipping wine.
No. I'm not south of France in August?
I don't know. Where would you go?
Who am I? No.
It's too hot.
I'm a beach goer. I'm a U.S. beach goer, and it was beautiful. And I loved your intro. Best weather week ever, basically.
It was so nice.
Anyway, when I was away, stocks were up. I come back and stocks are down. So perhaps you all would like to chip in for me to go away again.
That's fine. I mean, if it meant that was to happen, I think we would bid you adieu and not miss you. I do, you know, it's funny. I do want to ask about the jobs report, but there's so much. Actually, the average person is actually talking a lot about this interest rate issue. And our traffic guy was like, hey, he's in his early 60s, I believe, or late 50s. He's like, should I just put all my money? I can still get 5% on a CD. Should I just put all of it in that?
Yeah. I mean, I think if you have safe money, your emergency reserve, absolutely. But just remember, I mean, markets go up, they go down. I know it's very dizzying for people. But if you put all of your money, including your whole investment portfolio, in safe CDs, then you miss the recovery of the stock market in 2023. And even this year, even, you know, last week notwithstanding, the S&P 500 is still up 13% this year. So it's a balancing act, you know?
Right.
So I think that for a lot of people, they are tantalized by those high interest rates, which will be going down, because if you're a saver, you know that. But the thing is, being a long-term investor means more than a month, you know, months, a year, 2 years even. You know what I always think about for a long-term investor is look at 10 years. And if you think your CD rates for the next 10 years are going to be better than the maybe a blended or a balanced portfolio, then I guess that's what you should do. I don't think that's the case. I think you're still better off with a balanced portfolio.
Yeah, I think that's you sort of reduce risk as you get closer to retirement, though, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, and listen, I know that when we start seeing a change in interest rates in policy, it's unnerving to people. So next week is going to be somewhat weird because everyone's going to say, oh my God, they're cutting rates finally and markets are going to react. They may not react the way that you think. What I can say is this: computer program trading has made a lot of reactions extreme in those first hours or days after any release of anything. And for normal people who are investing for 10 or 20 or 30 years in the future, you have to drown that out and really look through that big splash of news and say, okay, what's most important for me? You know, so instead of freaking out about like what's going on in the market, I'd be much more interested in people a little, not freaking out, but a little more focused on the things they can control. Like,
right.
Hey, gosh, I never got that will done. Or, hey, gosh, I'm not saving enough money for retirement. Those are the things you can control. The markets, you can't.
Right. Jill Schlesinger, of course, you can go to jillonmoney.com, CBS News, joining us here on Brian and Company. So moving backward into what we saw Friday and then what we expect to happen with the Fed, give me your takeaway on the jobs report and whether you're just assuming it's a slam dunk that they might cut as much as 0.5%.
I don't think they're going to do 0.5%.
Okay.
I know nothing. I know exactly what everyone else knows, whatever's been reported. But I do take Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell at his word when he talks about the way he considers the economy's progress. So I think the Fed got exactly what it wanted in that jobs report on Friday. A little bit lighter on job creation, wages still okay, ahead of the inflation rate, and the unemployment rate came down a teeny tiny bit. But essentially, I think the Fed is going to start with 0.25%, and we'll see what happens after that. I mean, we might be surprised that they cut faster than expected. I was talking to a Wall Street analyst last week, and he said they're going to start slow because that is kind of the Fed's path. You have to look at what they've actually done under Jerome Powell. They're very measured until they're not. So don't forget that amid COVID, they were slashing three times before we ever got to a regular meeting. They were down, you know, dropping back, and when they were looking at raising rates, they went up by a half or three quarters of a percentage point. But that's in an emergency situation. We're not in an emergency situation. They're shifting policy. They're going to start cutting rates. They like a cooling job market. They like the inflation rate coming down. They like all of that.
So I'm curious, you talked about stock market reactions and how obviously they're not always as you might expect. How about the housing market if we get a quarter to a half? Like what? Because I talked to some real estate people like, well, we get anything with a five on it and things are going to start to go nuts. I have no idea.
Yeah. So it's so interesting because I've been talking a lot to real estate people and don't shoot the messenger here or me either, but I'm going to be out next Monday because I have a huge interview with one of the best housing economists that I know in the entire country. And I'm flying out to California to do this because I value his opinion so much. And I think the housing market is so dislocated, and I know that it's annoying to hear that if you're a buyer, right? I'm a first-time buyer. Okay, but the real issue that we have is that ever since the housing boom went to a bust, right, back in 2006, 7, 8, we just haven't had enough inventory. And then you pile COVID on top of that, and you have a lot of people who are surging demand, not enough supply. We still don't have enough supply. So the thing that's interesting is that I agree that as mortgage interest rates have come down from, let's say, 8 to 6.5-ish, this is where we are now, we've seen some more activity, not a lot. We still have to see interest rates for mortgages come down more to induce the people who have a 3 or 4% loan to list their homes and move to the next home. And that's the missing piece right now. I know we talk a lot about new construction, which is great, but you know, look, this country is an existing home market still. Yeah. So I think it's like 75 or 80% of all the houses sold are existing homes. We've got to get people who are willing to list their house. Have you ever heard of this term, the 3 Ds?
No.
Mm.
What are they?
So this is a housing thing. Don't write in about this, gang. It's not our. This is not what we have said. The 3 Ds are divorce. So meaning that's one reason people list their homes, right? Mm-hmm. People get divorced. The second D is disease. People get sick. They got to move elsewhere. Divorce, disease,
death.
Those three things are the only reasons why people are listing houses right now. They're not listing houses because they want to move up. They want to change neighborhoods. They're hanging in there because they feel locked into with those rates. As rates come down, I do think there's going to be a lot more activity in the housing market.
Hmm. Anything else happening this week of note?
Oh, yes. I know you have this marked on your calendar.
Oh, I was due.
Big red circle around the Consumer Price Index.
CPI, baby.
On Wednesday. You know, look, I don't think this is going to be a huge report, meaningful in terms of like what the Fed's going to do, but people are going to look at it. And we are expecting that for consumers in terms of the CPI, that the rate will come down, headline rate will come down because gas is down pretty remarkably, by the way. By the way, how much do we complain about gas's prices going up? But we don't say, oh, we're so lucky gas is down 50 cents a gallon from a year ago.
Unless it's in the $2, I you know what I mean?
$2? What are you, in 1985?
I'm telling you, no, we've had it under, in the last 10 years, we've had it under $3 a couple times.
But I'm just saying that like $2 now, that would be insane given like where, all I'm saying is that if you look at gas prices, it's remarkable. By the way, wheat also touched year lows. So things like food and energy will come down. I think still under the hood of that report, we're going to have problems with that shelter index. But that's, you know, we've talked about this before. It's so annoying the way the government measures shelter. I feel like every economist I talk to says that's not relevant. But, you know, it's in the report, so we have to talk about it. Anyway, so CPI this week, very exciting. One little stat for you, because I know you own most of your portfolio in NVIDIA stock, right?
I wish. No.
I never saw numbers like this in my life. I mean, this is, I know I was working in the investment management business when the dot-com boom was booming, but I have never seen a company drop, erase more than $400 billion of market capitalization in a week. Is just shocking. Anyway, NVIDIA was down 14% last week, but still up pretty dramatically on the year. Just a good message to everybody that as you are thinking about, oh, I wish I had all my money in blank stock, it is up, it's down. You can keep some money in your fun money account, but it was a rough week last week. Yeah. And it's a great, great time to be a balanced investor.
Yeah, I can't believe NVIDIA is a $2.5 trillion company. I mean, it's just stunning to me. Jill, welcome back. It's good to have you in the fold, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Take care.
Jill Schlesinger, CBS News, JillOnMoney.com to read her stuff and listen to her stuff as well.